And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Awakening Podcast here on American Family Radio. I'm your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson. Great to be with you again today. I have got so much to talk to you about today. But first and foremost, I want to ask you, please, continue to pray for American Family Radio and the American Family Association family of organizations. The American Family Association, American Family Radio, and all of the other attendant programs that we're doing. As you all know, we're helping other organizations. We are making movies and documentaries, and just there's a whole host of activities that go on under the aegis of American Family Association. So please keep us in your prayers, and thank you all for your prayers. Thank you for your contributions. Thank you for all of your support. And I just praise God for you. I really do. Praise God for you. Well, let me just say right out of the bat, right off the bat, I am elated with what President Donald Trump is doing. Folks, substantively, I don't think I could be more pleased. Yeah, maybe I could nitpick here and there, but I really am. Look, you know what? We are in an awakening. We really are. We are in an awakening. And President Donald Trump is in the forefront of it. And I just praise God for that. I really do. You know, I've said God can take a crooked stick and hit a straight lick. And if I had been picking the president to help lead us in the direction we're going, I would not have picked Donald Trump before he ran the first time. But God, of course, always knows what we don't know and sees what we don't see. You know, I've heard this song ridiculed because people can sometimes abuse it and make it mean things that really we as Christians, we as believers, we as disciples of Jesus Christ shouldn't believe. But there is a lot of truth to it. The Lord works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps on the wave and rides out every storm. It is true because it is a mystery to me that God had in mind, of all people, Donald Trump, to help lead this country out of trouble. And you know, as much as it is a testament to the inner strength and character of Donald Trump, and it is definitely a testament to that, folks, this is a testament to the inscrutable, unfathomable wisdom of Almighty God. It really is. It is exactly why the Word of God says, a man devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Because, you know, we think of all of our little ideas and plans about what should happen and what needs to happen. And you know, there's a scripture that says God just laughs. I think it's in Psalm chapter 2. But he knows exactly what he's doing. The word says he works all things according to the counsel of his will. And I'll tell you, I am just elated. Now, I said I could nitpick here and there. The two appointments that President Trump has made that I'm most excited about are Pete Hegseth. And I began with a little bit of consternation about Pete because I'm thinking, man, he just seems awfully young. But as I thought about it and prayed about it, I just got more and more excited about it. And I'm excited about him because I just believe that the military is such an important institution, not only for our safety, our security, our sovereignty, but also for our culture. Because the military is a tremendous repository of those traditional values that make America great. Duty, honor, integrity, responsibility, courage, patriotism, sacrifice, all those things that I think are really intrinsic to the American spirit, intrinsic to who we are as a nation. Those things are really captured, should be captured in the military culture, and the left has just been decimating that and making the military about drag queens and so-called transgender, which there's no such thing because you can't transition from one gender to another, but gender rebellion and homosexuality and putting men and women together in circumstances that are just bound to produce a lot of promiscuity and lowering standards, trying to make the military quote unquote diverse and DEI military. It just a whole lot of nonsense that has nothing to do with the mission of the military, with what it ought to be doing. Standing as the sentinels for the safety, the security, the sovereignty of the United States of America. And there are some things that are just near and dear to my heart that I get really emotional about when I think about them and talk about them. And two of those things are our military people and our police officers. Military people, I've experienced that. I know what it is to be in the military because I joined the Marine Corps and served 3 years in the United States Marine Corps myself. And I have some idea what that's about. I didn't see combat, but I certainly had friends who did, and I know through indirect experience the trauma, the difficulty, the pain, the anguish, the sacrifice that some of these folks made. My goodness, Andrew Womack, a dear friend, I mean, he saw combat in Vietnam. So it's really near and dear to my heart. And I see a military now being revived, now being refocused, and really enlivened and reanimated because I can tell you from my own personal experience of talking to guys in the military, because of course I live in a military area, the largest naval base in the world is not, I don't know, 10 miles from my church, Norfolk Naval Base. And so I have a lot of military people have come through my church over the years. And, you know, you get to sit down and talk to them and they tell you, I need to learn how to do my job better. And I'm sitting for hours in some stupid class learning which pronouns to use and learning how to navigate this whole deal where a woman's supposed to be the same as a man, but no, she can't quite do what a man does. And you're supposed to pretend she can, but overlook that she can't. I mean, it's like I'm walking on eggshells as opposed to learning how to defend my country. So praise God. I mean, and you know, the other person, you might not think this doesn't sound very romantic or very exciting, but you know, Russell Vaught has taken over as director of the Office of Management and Budget. And I don't know whether you've paid attention to him because that's not exactly what you would call an exciting role. You know, he's doing the numbers. He's trying to make the books balance for the White House. But Russell Vaught is the guy who was severely attacked by Dick Durbin and by Bernie Sanders when he was being nominated as assistant director of OMB. And they jumped on him for a letter that he wrote at Wheaton College. I think he was already graduated, but he had written this letter because apparently some Muslims were attacking Wheaton College because of its statement of faith, basically requiring faith in Jesus Christ. And he wrote a letter defending that statement of faith. And he said in the letter, Muslims stand condemned because they do not accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And he is the only way of salvation. Our school should not be even considering changing its statement of faith. We are a Christian school. I mean, I'm paraphrasing. Of course, I don't have the letter in front of me, but something to that effect. And Bernie Sanders and Dick Durbin just went ballistic over that. Are you saying that that Muslims are condemned? Well, he said, look, I am a Christian. I believe in salvation through Jesus Christ alone. Now, instead of these idiots understanding that we have a First Amendment that protects his right to believe that, no, they want to act like, oh, that's un-American. Un-American? Un-American? Well, then I guess George Washington was un-American, and I guess John Adams was un-American, and I guess James Monroe was un-American, and George Mason was un-American, because these people were Christians. And they were not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have a writing where George Washington says one of this is some notes from his first inaugural address. He didn't use them in his inaugural address, but they were found in his archives. But he says, the blessed religion of the Word of God. What's he talking about? Talking about faith in Jesus Christ. His first proclamation, it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and to humbly implore his favor and protection. I mean, what? And you're going to treat Russell Vaught like he's some kind of I don't know what, but a monster because he dares to assert that there is only one way of salvation, and that's through faith in Jesus Christ? So God bless Russell Vaught. To me, it is his vindication. They tried to keep him from becoming assistant director of OMB, and now he's director of OMB. Take that. You know, or as the old saying went, put that in your pipe and smoke it. Can't say, I better not say that to a bunch of leftists because there's no telling what they would put in a pipe and smoke. But praise God for this administration and what it is doing. And the other thing that has really moved me is that when Donald Trump said very explicitly, we are no longer going to recognize in the federal government but two genders, male and female. And then he added this, and again, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but this captures it. He says, because respect for the rules and regulations of the government is based upon it expressing and representing truth. And the truth is that there are only two genders, male and female. I said, man, praise God. You know, he's really the first politician I have heard express it explicitly and boldly and forthrightly. You know, he's been in politics for 10 years, but Donald Trump has still not become a politician. Donald Trump is really still a developer, a builder, and a problem solver. Much more than he is a politician. Politicians look at things with this in mind. Well, what do I do to make sure that A, I stay in power, and B, I can get reelected, and see, nobody will say anything bad about me. I mean, those are the kind of machinations that politicians go through. Donald Trump seems to go through only one machination. What's right? What's right? Now, you may not always agree with his answer as to what's right, but I think that's always his question. His question is not, well, now, what's going to work for me? What's going to help me? See, Biden's question was always, how can I enrich myself, enrich my family, bolster my power, bolster my standing. That, to me, that was always his question. Never, what's good for America? But what's good for me? I mean, you know, the statement that former Secretary of Defense Casey made about Biden having been wrong on every foreign policy issue since he's been in office. Well, you know what? We may now understand why. Not just because he's just dumb, but because he was never asking questions about foreign policy based upon what's good for the country, but maybe from as long as we've known him and as long as he's been in public life, he's always been trying to figure out what angle works best for him and his family to enrich themselves. Well, no wonder he always comes up with wrong answers. What do you do about Ukraine? Well, what's going to work to enrich me and my family? What do we do about China? Well, what's going to work to enrich me and my family? What do we do about Islamic terror? Well, what's going to work to enrich me and my family? It's sad, but that's who he is, but that's not who Donald Trump is. Donald Trump's not asking the question, what's going to work to enrich me and my family? Donald Trump is always asking the question, what's going to work to enrich Americans? What's going to work to enrich and strengthen and help our country? And I'll tell you what, and my daddy used to have an expression. He used to say, I like that kind of carrying on. And I say, yes, Dad, so do I. So praise God for that. Now, let me get into a couple of specific issues that I think we need to talk about. Now, folks, the first one, you may, from time to time, I've brought this up before, of course, and I started really talking about it in earnest when the whole flag kneeling stuff came up with regard to, the football games, and all the sports picked it up during the whole Black Lives Matter stupidity. You know, that little charade that was played, a little communist Marxist charade, Black Lives Matter, please. Those people couldn't have cared less about, I mean, the people who led that couldn't have cared less about Black Lives. They cared about, once again, they cared about pushing Marxism and getting money. Those were their two motives. Let's push Marxism and let's make some money. And you had a bunch of useful idiots all over the country who helped them do both. But during that whole debacle is when I stepped away from football and then ultimately from professional sports. I said, you know, I've had it. All this flag kneeling and all this politicizing of it's sports, it's entertainment, entertain people. And other than that, shut up. If you want to do other things and talk about other things, you're free to do that. I support your right to do that. But that's not what people go to a football game for, a basketball game for, or a baseball game for. They go to be entertained by the athleticism of these professional athletes. So go to it and do your thing, and we'll all enjoy that. And it's unifying, it's fun. But oh, no. We got to insult the American people. We're not standing up for the flag. I mean, you had a bunch of idiots go to Europe and stand up to the singing of God Save the Queen, but wouldn't stand up for the singing of the national anthem. I mean, what kind of mess is that? And then you got idiots like Roger Goodell telling us that Colin Kaepernick is not against America. Oh, please. That was a lie out of the pit of hell, and anybody with two eyes and a brain knew it. He made clear when he announced that he was no longer playing football after this, but made clear he would not celebrate July 4th. I'm not going to celebrate a holiday for a country that has oppressed my people. And then, you know, then you ask, well, who are your people? I mean, half your people are European. But, you know, it's interesting how conveniently people become very, very black when it suits them. Well, thank God nobody's hearing anything from him anymore, because there was nothing much to hear in the first place. He's nothing but an empty vessel. And so he needs to go off somewhere and maybe find a good church to get saved. That'd be the best thing that could happen for him. But that aside, so I stopped. That was it for me. You know, I just, and don't get me wrong, folks, again, I'm not knocking anybody who watches football. I got family members who watch it and are into it and all that. And I don't resent them for it. But I just lost any emotional connection to it. It's gone for me. So I just have no interest whatsoever. None. And I hear people talking about it with all the enthusiasm. I just kind of go, okay, all right. Well, you know, do your thing. But it just took it all away from me. Well, I do. Here's a little nitpicky thing. I do wish President Trump, having been the first president to attend a Super Bowl game, I wish, and who knows, maybe he did whisper in Roger Goodell's ear, is this two national anthems business? We are one nation, buddy. Why are you acting like we're two different nations? Well, here's what I really want to get to. So, you know, I don't think I shared it with you all. I don't think last week when I did my podcast. But I was just incensed because I think I did share it over Christmas when, you know, on their Christmas Day game, they trot out Beyonce to do who knows what. Because I, you know, to me, Beyonce, I don't even see her as a singer. I really don't, because of course I don't listen to her music. But to me, Beyonce is nothing but just a glorified, you know, kind of nightclub dancer. Because that's all she does. It's all prurient and sort of sexual. And I mean, I said, and for anybody who questions that, I'll ask any man in America with a daughter, you want your daughter to emulate her? While she's gyrating on stage, is that, do you want your daughter to emulate her? And I guarantee any normal man said, no. Wouldn't mind my daughter having her money, but no, I don't want my daughter. No, that's not the role model I have in mind for my daughter. Well, this time Roger Goodell, in all of his depravity, and I think the man is a depraved leftist. I really do. I think that's why he went along with all that crazy stuff that started going on instead of putting his foot down and say, "Look, we're here to play football. You all have enough money. You can have any platform you want. The media will pay attention to you. You can go out there and say whatever you want on your own time. We're not using football to do it." Okay? Football is about football. But no, he wouldn't do that. He just allowed it to happen. Well, now he's playing the pandering to the lowest common denominator and bringing in this entertainment. So on the Christmas Day, it was Beyonce. She didn't say anything about Christmas, by the way. Didn't say anything about the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, no. It's Christmas Day, but let's not ruin it by bringing up Jesus. I say, you know, the least he, I mean, if he had the sense God gave a gnat, he would have said, you know, it's Christmas Day. Why don't we do a Christmas concert? We have to bring in some singers and have them sing some Christmas music. People would love that, and they would have. But no, because he's in the gutter. So now this time for the Super Bowl, he brings in this rapper. Now, I don't know who this guy is. I don't really care who he is. I don't listen to their music. But I looked him up when I heard about him. And I started reading some of the lyrics that he was using. That he was writing. Just as nasty, as filthy, as profane as they could be. And I thought, why is he using somebody like that for Super Bowl halftime when it's a family time? People are sitting around with their family, their young children. But I thought to myself, well, but you know what? This guy's probably going to have sense enough to realize that since he's reaching an audience of, I think they said the 80 million people watch it. I forget how many, but a lot of people watch it, that he will have sense enough not to sing some stupid, profane, nasty song, knowing that young kids will be watching and all of that. So he didn't get as bad as he could have gotten, by the way. But he did end up singing this hit, apparently, where he accuses one of his rivals of being a pedophile. Now, that's in the song. Now, you people my age, people in my generation, even some younger, probably listen to this stuff or hear it and think, I don't even know what he's saying. I can't even follow it. But you know what young people can? Young people, they can listen to those lyrics and start reciting them back to you and get with the rhythm of it and just, I don't understand it, but they do. I almost need a translator. So I'm thinking to myself, what happens when your 7, your 8-year-old watches this stuff? Maybe you get distracted and the television's on. He's watching this idiot's rapper talk all this stupid mess, and then he comes to you and says, Daddy, what's a pedophile? And you're going, what? Where did you even hear that word? What are you talking about? Oh, the rapper on at halftime, the guy, he sang about, he said one of his friends is a pedophile. And then you go, what? your first thought is, no, he probably misunderstood. But he actually sang a lyric accusing a friend of being a pedophile. In fact, there's a lawsuit pending because the guy he's accused of being a pedophile has sued him for slander. That's a pretty bad accusation. I don't care if you say it in music, accusing somebody of being a pedophile. Why would Roger Goodell put that kind of so-called entertainment on? Well, let me give you, I gave you two reasons already. One, he's depraved. I just believe this is a reflection of Roger Goodell's, his own moral outlook. Because if he had a different moral outlook, he would be incensed by it. He would say, there's no way I'm using this person. He'll be going for people who he thought were going to. I mean, I heard some people say, how about putting on some old fashioned rock and roll? I'd rather hear that myself, frankly. And I'm not a big rock and roll fan or anything either. But I've said, well, why not put on some of these great gospel singers? And I mean, there are some magnificent gospel singers who could, I tell you, just take their crowd. I think he'd be shocked if he allowed somebody to put together a tremendous gospel concert, Christian music, gospel music. I think he'd be shocked by the feedback he'd get. Because I guarantee you'd have people saying, that was the greatest halftime show I have ever seen or heard. It was just wonderful. It was uplifting. Because I tell you something, folks, you all probably know this, right? Not only Christians listen to Christian music. Well, look, when I was running my gospel radio station up in Boston, ran it for almost 10 years, I used to have Jewish people and non-Christians tell me, I listen to your station. And I'm not a Christian. I listen to your station. I said, really? They said, yeah, but I love the music. But it's inspiring. It's uplifting. It's encouraging. It's strengthening. Oh, no, we don't want that. No, we want some stupid rapper singing about how his rival rapper is a pedophile. We want Beyonce shaking her backside. That's, yeah, let's go with that. But let me tell you the other thing. I said, it's a depraved mind that puts this stuff out there. Let me tell you the other thing about it. And folks, please bear with me when I say this, because I know this could make some people cringe a little bit, but it needs to be said. It is because that is the picture that Roger Goodell has of Americans of African ancestry. He thinks that they are predominantly a bunch of dancing, rapping, shucking and jiving people. And it is really no different than the caricature of the step and fetch it or the black Sambo of an earlier era in our country that was intended to insult black people and to denigrate them. It is no different. Because I have to tell you that when I think of black people, that's not what I think of. I mean, I think of my father. I think of people that I've known and met and admired over the years. People of dignity, people of strength, of character, of integrity, of honor. You know, people who are serious, people with gifts and talents and abilities that they're putting to positive, uplifting use and contributing to their families, to their communities, to the world around them. That's what I think of. I don't think of that idiocy. But apparently that's what Roger Goodell thinks. When he thinks of black folks, when he thinks of black Americans, that's what he thinks. And it is racist to the core. And somebody needs to call him on it. And I really hope that the president of the United States whispered in his ear, hey, Cut this nonsense. Cut this black national anthem nonsense. Cut this pandering to the lowest common denominator nonsense. To show you what I mean, you see, liberals are always screaming about racism. Oh, racism, racism. They're the biggest racists on the planet, folks. And I hate to generalize like that, because obviously there may be some, but the ideology they hold, it is a petri dish. It is an incubator for this attitude, because it's an attitude of superiority. It's a supercilious attitude that says these poor people, they need to be helped. While they're rapping and dancing, we've got to do the serious stuff to take care of them. You know, while they're feuding in their rap with each other as rap singers, and maybe shooting each other in the streets if they see each other, we've got to come up with programs to take care of them, because, you know, they can't take care of themselves. But this woman, Ann Navarro, really confirms this mindset on the part of liberals. She's, of course, she is on The View, and I don't watch The View, but I read this article in Breitbart where she says, I think Donald Trump, that's supposed to be tongue in cheek, I think Donald Trump is going to sign an executive order banning black people from halftime. And then she goes on to say, because, you know, this much I know, all the black people on my feed were like, ooh, this is blackity, black, black. And she said, and all the racists who somehow get in, man, they were hopping mad. So if the racists are mad, I'm happy as a clam. So basically what she's saying is, this is what black people are. This is the way they think. This is the way they behave. This is what they do. And if you happen to not, that doesn't appeal to you, you're a racist. Well, I guess that makes me a racist then. I guess that makes me a racist. Listen, folks, throughout my lifetime, I've listened to all kinds of music. I only listen to gospel music now. But I'll tell you what, I've listened to classical music. I've listened to jazz music. I've listened to R&B. I've listened to rock music. But I am a person of eclectic tastes. I listen to gospel music because it feeds my spirit now, and that's what I most enjoy. In fact, there are a couple of Frank Sinatra songs I love. I just think the chairman of the board had a tremendous voice and delivery and all of that. His music doesn't feed my spirit, but I really believe that it is classic Americana. But you can't put me in a racial box and say, oh, some stupid looking, stupid sounding, stupid acting rapper, that's what appeals to Bishop E.W. Jackson, because he's black too. If that's what she's saying, all the black people. See, but that's the way they think, folks. That's the way they think. Because they couldn't lower themselves to look at the Americans who happen to have darker skin, look at us as individuals. They could not dare to lower themselves to that. Oh, no. No, it's just all one big mass. This is the way they think. This is the way they act. This is the way, whatever caricature, whatever stereotype they have. And these idiots don't realize how racist that is, because they're so busy pointing the finger at other people. Donald Trump's a racist, and he's going to... And you don't realize they're revealing themselves to be the biggest racist on the planet. All right. Well, listen, I had to get that out there, and because it is just so important to be said. You know, look, I just give you an example. My wife and I, one of the greatest shows we ever saw was the Irish Step Dancers, Riverdance. You all remember that? Oh, my goodness. I think we must have seen that three times. Oh, man. Oh, my goodness. That that show just absolutely thrilled me, because not only was the dancing magnificent, but the story, they wove in the story of the Irish people and some of the anguish and some of the pain that they had to go through in their history. It was just beautiful. But see, according to this idiot, I don't want to go see that. No. I want to hear some stupid gangster rapper. I tell you, it's disgusting. Sticking with this whole issue of the, this is important, folks, because this is what Donald Trump can't do. Donald Trump cannot extract the poison in our culture and hold it up for all to see and say, this is what we must reject. I mean, he can do some of that, but you and I've got to do that. You know, I've said, why don't Christians tell Roger Goodell, have you ever considered doing a gospel concert? I mean, how many people listened to that garbage during the halftime that you played? And by the way, I heard the fans were up in arms about the playing of the black national anthem, and they should be, because there's no two national anthems. There's only one. What Christians ought to tell him, look, how about a gospel concert during halftime? You know, the overwhelming majority of Americans still identify as Christians. How about that? How many do you think listen to black gangster, stupid gospel rap? Not gospel rap, forgive me. I didn't mean to say gospel, but black gangster stupid rap. How many do you think listen to that? I guarantee you it's a minority. But of course, not only black folks listen to it, of course, because that's why they become so wealthy. Because a whole bunch of people listen to it. And I don't know why, but they do. But keeping with this cultural theme, did you hear that the Boy Scouts have now changed their name? They've dropped the word boy. Because after all, who knows what that is, right? And they're now going to call themselves Scouting America. You know what? They might as well call themselves Homosexual America. And the Girl Scouts might as well call themselves Lesbians America. Because the Girl Scouts did this years ago. They basically went lesbian. Yeah. If you know anybody who's got a child, a girl in the Girl Scouts, tell them you need to get out of that mess, because that mess is wholly taken over by lesbians. It is demonic. Send your children to Trail Scouts or something with a Christian base to it. But they now allow homosexual leaders and homosexual boys. See, I wouldn't have allowed my son to be part of that. Because you know what that's an invitation to? That's an invitation to molestation and sexual abuse. And by the way, folks, forgive me for getting this explicit with you, but you'll know it's true when I've said it. Sexual abuse doesn't only take place between adults and children. You know, older kids have been known to sexually abuse younger kids. Because that's far less suspect when you've got an older kid. I can tell you in one case, I was counseling a young kid who got involved in homosexuality. Yeah, I was counseling because I don't hate anybody and I love people and I want to help them get delivered and live the life that God has for them. I was counseling this young man and he was telling me, I was asking him about how he got involved with homosexuality. And he told me, I asked him, was it something that he lived with all his life, that he can't remember when he started thinking that way because it was so early? He said, no. He said, I remember when I started thinking that way. I said, when? He said, when I was 10 years old. I said, well, what happened when you were 10 years old? He said, when I was 10 years old, I got involved with an older boy and he introduced me to it. So this is part of the cultural rot that we're dealing with. And the only way to deal with that, you just got to come out of that mess and go with something that is going to feed your child's spirit and help your child become the man or the woman that God intended them to be, not put your child at risk by putting them in a whole, in a situation that is infected and saturated with the wrong spirit. So, scouting America, you believe that? I mean, what? And, you know, they were trying to hold a line at one point, but I guess the corporate money came in and said, "Hey, we're gonna pay you all to just surrender your male identity and just go with being whatever," so that, you know, I won't speculate any further. But I used to say this about President Obama. Now I'll say it about the corporate world. Anytime you have people preoccupied with pushing homosexuality and opening it up to children, to more people, trying to normalize it, there's something wrong with that person. Spiritually and psychologically and morally, there's something wrong with that person. Because who thinks about that? Who preoccupies themselves with trying to push that? Say, well, you talk about it. Yeah, I talk about it because we're defending ourselves against an onslaught. We're defending ourselves against an attempt to turn our country into Sodom and Gomorrah. We've got to talk about it. But of course, you all know I've got a constitutional amendment that I'm proposing that says there's no such thing as same-sex marriage, and there's no such thing as multiple genders. There's only two genders, and there's only one kind of marriage, a union between one man and one woman. I really believe we ought to put that in the Constitution of the United States. We did it in the state constitutions, and it didn't work because the Supreme Court wiped all that work out in one stroke of the pen. And we need to regain it by putting it in the Constitution of the United States. And then look, folks, let me be clear. People can still live however they want. But they can't legally force you and me to bow to it. And they can't sue your business and sue your company and sue you because somehow they think that you are required to bow down to their perversion. Okay, I'll end with this, and I don't have time to give it the attention it deserves. But you know, President MacArthur was the president who signed civil service into law, and it was because people were concerned that there was corruption in the federal government. apparently, it really kind of started earlier than that, but it wasn't until Chester Arthur became president that he instituted a system whereby people got hired according to exam and strictly on the basis of merit. What I want to say to you is we have now reached a point some 80 years later. I guess there was a civil service was instituted under Ulysses S. Grant, but it wasn't what it ultimately became. But we are at a point now where we've got to revisit that, because instead of it keeping corruption out of the federal government, it has now calcified and enshrined corruption into the federal government by making all these bureaucrats, folks, 2.7 million of them under civil service, who cannot be fired. Well, let's put it this way. As a practical matter, you could say theoretically they can't be, but as a practical matter, they really can't be. They really cannot be fired as a practical matter. So something has got to give. When you have, after Donald Trump is inaugurated, and you have FEMA sending $59 million to pay for luxury hotels in New York. for illegal aliens. Now, this is after he's president. Something is clearly wrong. Something is clearly wrong. Well, I was wrong about that. I said it's been 80 years now. Chester Arthur was president in 1882. So apparently the civil service reforms that he instituted happened well over 100 years ago. Now it was 140 years ago. So that just tells me even more it is time to take a look at that. The Pendleton Civil Service Reform Act was passed in 1862. I've had my numbers all wrong. I didn't realize it was that old. But so, yeah, that takes us back, folks, to 150 years ago. I mean, that goes back a ways. Well, 147 years, something like that. So we've got to do something about that. Because the President of the United States cannot adequately govern our country when he walks into office and inherits 2.7 million. He only gets to make about 4,000 appointments. So I don't know where the rest is. That they say about 2.7 million in civil service. He appoints 4,000. That's a big gap. I don't know where those others fit in. But one thing is clear. You can't really control 2.7 million people with 4,000. You can't. Because this is proof positive of it. I mean, he comes in and FEMA, look, and by the way, what USAID is doing, they continue to do that after President Trump took office too. Until Elon Musk unveiled what they were up to. I mean, they're sending money overseas to promote homosexuality and gender rebellion and all kinds of weird stuff. Like I said, and part of what they were paying for is helping so-called LGBTQ, which I call SPCG, sexual perversion child grooming movement, helping these people to figure out how to skirt around our immigration laws and come here illegally and stay. So basically, they're trying to make America Sodom and Gomorrah and make other countries of the world Sodom and Gomorrah with our taxpayer dollars. Yeah. And this continued after the president's in office. So let me just say, I am a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Elon Musk is apparently an atheist. But I say for what Elon Musk is doing right now, God bless you. God bless you, Elon. I pray that Elon gets saved. I pray that he gets a revelation that his being the wealthiest man in the world when he dies and has to face God, he's gonna face God as a pauper. I'm serious about this. I pray for the man's salvation, but I really believe God is using him right now to do some things in our government that desperately need to be done. And I hope that he will come to a spiritual revelation of the reality of Almighty God. If he's that smart, he really will. If he's that smart, he will. He'll realize the universe is no accident and the order of the universe is no happenstance and is not the result of some dumb explosion called the Big Bang. That we live in a universe of order. It has physical order. It has moral order. Because it is the creation of the moral God, the God of the universe. But that's another matter. But thank God for what he's doing right now. And keep exposing it. Keep exposing this stuff. Go to the Department of Education and find out what they're doing with our tax. And folks, they're accusing Donald Trump of not following the Constitution again. Where in the Constitution does it give anybody the right to spend your taxpayer dollars and mine to promote homosexuality and killing of unborn babies and all this garbage overseas, let alone here? Where? There's no such constitutional authority anywhere, but they could care less what the Constitution says. I trust Donald Trump with the Constitution of the United States of America any day of the week and twice on Sunday, and I wouldn't trust these leftists as far as I could throw them. I don't believe they have any respect whatsoever for the Constitution. They're all concerned about the Constitution now when they've been telling us that the Constitution is a racist document written by a bunch of racists. In fact, one guy at MSNBC said that the underlying theme of the Constitution is racism and white supremacy. What an idiot. What an idiot. Yeah, I'll trust Donald Trump with the Constitution of the United States happily. And I take that document very seriously. So listen, God bless you all. Time has gone by so quickly. I've got to go. But look, you know what to do, right? Stand up. Oh, by the way, I videotape these podcasts. And after they have aired on American Family Radio and posted on American Family Radio, you can catch them on any of my venues, my Facebook page, YouTube channel. We're going to start posting them on Saturdays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. So if you watch it or listen to it, I should say, on Wednesdays on AFR, and you want to refer somebody else to it, maybe they like video or they want to watch something, you can tell them, well, it's also on video and you can see it then. Of course, don't watch it on video while you're driving in your car. you can listen, but don't watch that. So obviously, I'm producing it primarily for AFR, and it is an AFR product, and it's an audio product, but I'm also videotaping it to make it available for others afterwards. So God bless each and every one of you. Stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit. Because we are on God's side. God bless everybody.